fingers of light shoot out from the continents on the earth. The word Universal moves in front of the slowly turning planet. www.universalstudios.com. The Earth turns into a blazing sun behind a gigantic pyramid reaching for a yellow-orange sky. Birds hover above the pyramid's surface. Weapons, he shuts his eyes. The horses are suddenly spooked, and there's a frenzy of confusion. As the brown-haired man cautiously takes a peek, he finds only the dust left by his fleeing enemy. His eyes widen as he looks around. He turns to see that the pillar is a statue with the head of an animal. He stares at it. He turns and is caught in a large burst of flying sand. More sand erupts from the ground under his feet. The sand on the ground becomes a face with its mouth open. The men on horseback flee through the bodies of fallen soldiers. The creature remains undiscovered. And what of this one? The Magi leader watches the brown-haired man run away. The brown-haired man stops and turns to see the group of Magi sitting at the top of a cliff on horseback. He continues walking. Should we kill him? No. The desert will kill him. Cairo, Egypt. 3 years later. As people move about, a sign above a doorway says, Museum of Antiquities. Egyptian statues flank both sides of the doorway.
Sacred stones, sculpture and aesthetics. Socrates, Seth, volume 1, volume 2, and volume 3.
A woman is on a ladder.
Tutmosis. What are you doing here? Tea. I'm going to put you where you belong.
She tentatively reaches to the opposite shelf. She teeters on the top of the ladder as it stands up straight between towering bookshelves. She struggles to keep her balance. Her eyes widen as she looks from side to side. She looks to the floor far below. She falls forward, knocking the huge bookshelf over. It hits bookshelf after bookshelf like dominoes. She stares wide-eyed at the mess that surrounds her, then slowly removes her glasses from the end of her nose.
Oops.
What?
A balding man is standing on one of the downed bookshelves.
Look at this!
Sons of the pharaohs! Give me frogs! Flies! Locusts! Anything but you! Compared to you, the other plagues were a joy!
I'm so very sorry it was an accident.
Darling girl, when Ramses destroyed Syria, that was an accident. You are a catastrophe! Look at my library! Why do I put up with you?
Well, you put up with me because I can read and write ancient Egyptian, and I can decipher hieroglyphics and Hieratic, and I am the only person within 1,000 miles who knows how to properly code and catalogue this library. That's why
I put up with you, because your father and mother were our finest patrons. That's why. Allah rest their souls. I don't care how you do it. I don't care how long it takes. Straighten up this mishiva!
As he leaves, the woman turns toward the clanging sound. She sees a flickering light through a frosted window and goes to it. She enters a large room and looks around.
Hello?
She looks around cautiously. She takes a lit torch from a statue, then walks around various Egyptian artifacts.
Abdul.
She passes a large statue.
Muhammad. Bob.
She looks to her left. She cautiously approaches an open sarcophagus. A mummy sits up. A man is behind it.
Have you no respect for the dead?
Of course I do, but sometimes I'd rather like to join them.
Well, I wish you would do it sooner rather than later before you ruin my career the way you've ruined yours. Now get out.
My dear, sweet baby sister, I'll have you know that at this precise moment, my career's on a high note.
High note, ha. Oh, Jonathan, please, I'm really not in the mood for you. I've just made a bit of a mess in the library, and the Bembridge scholars have rejected my application form again. They say I don't have enough experience in the field.
Jonathan frowns and goes to his sister.
You'll always have me, old mum.
They touch heads.
Besides, I've just the thing to cheer you up.
Oh, no, Jonathan, not another worthless trinket. If I have to take one more piece of junk to the curator to try and sell for you.
She takes a small box from his hand and studies it.
Where did you get this?
On a dig down in Thebes. My whole life, I've never found anything, Evie. Please, tell me I found something.
The box lid opens to form a star pattern.
Jonathan?
Yes?
I think you found something.
She removes an old piece of paper and unfolds it to reveal a map. Later.
You see the cartouche there? It's the official royal seal of Seti I. I'm sure of it.
Perhaps.
Two questions. Who the hell was Seti I, and was he rich?
He was the second pharaoh of the 19th dynasty, said to be the wealthiest pharaoh of them all.
Good. That's good. I like this fellow. I like him very much.
I've already dated the map. It's almost 3,000 years old, and if you look at the hieratic just here, well, it's Hammurabi.
Dear God, don't be ridiculous. We're scholars, not treasure hunters. Hammurabi's a myth told by ancient Arab storytellers to amuse Greek and Roman tourists.
Yes, yes, I know all the silly blather about the city being protected by the curse of a mummy nonsense, but my research has led me to believe that the city itself may have actually existed.
Are we talking about the Hammurabi?
Yes, the city of the dead, where the earliest pharaohs were said to have hidden the wealth of Egypt.
Yes, yes, and a big underground treasure chamber. Oh, come on, everybody knows the story. The entire Acropolis was rigged to sink into the sand, and Pharaoh's command, a flick of the switch, and the whole place would disappear beneath the sand dunes, taking the treasure with it.
As the Americans would say, it's all fairy tales and hokey. Oh, my goodness! Look at that!
The curator holds the paper near a lantern, setting it ablaze. Evie and Jonathan pat the fire out.
You've burnt it. You've burnt off a part of the lost city.
It's for the best, I'm sure. Many men have wasted their lives in the foolish pursuit of Hammurabi. No one's ever found it. Most have never returned.
Come, come! Step over the threshold. Welcome to Cairo Prison, my humble home.
You told me that you got it on a dig down in Thebes.
No, well, I was mistaken.
You lied to me.
I lie to everybody. What makes you so special?
I am your sister.
Yes, well, that just makes you more gullible.
Jonathan, you stole it from a drunk at the local Casbah.
Picked his pocket, actually, so I don't think
Jonathan,
it's very good.
Stop being so ridiculous. Now, what exactly is this man in prison for?
Well, this I did not know. But when I heard you were coming, I asked him that myself. Yalla!
And what did he say?
He said he was just looking for a good time.
Guards wrestle with a man behind bars. It's the brown-haired man. He's dirty and unshaven. The warden steps back.
This is the man that you stole it from?
Yes, exactly. So why don't we just go sniff out a spot of Tiffin?
Who are you? And who's the broad?
Well, I'm just local sort of missionary chap, spreading the good word and all that. But this is my sister, Evie.
How do you do?
Yeah, well, guess she's not so lost.
I beg your pardon.
Listen, behave!
I'll be back in a moment.
Ask him about the box.
We've found... Hello, excuse me. We both found your puzzle box, and we come to ask you about it.
No.
No.
No. You came to ask me about Hammurabi.
Do you know that the box pertains to Hammurabi?
Because that's where I was when I found it. I was there.
Jonathan steps closer.
But how do we know? That's not a load of pig swallow.
You know, do I know you?
No. I've just got one of those faces.
He punches Jonathan, then a guard hits him.
You were actually at Hammurabi.
She steps over Jonathan.
Yeah, I was there.
You swear?
Every damn day.
No, I didn't mean that.
I know what you meant. I was there. Seti's place, city of the dead.
Could you tell me how to get there?
He raises his eyebrows.
I mean, the exact location.
You want to know?
Well, yes.
Do you really want to know?
Yes.
He motions her to come closer. He grabs her chin and kisses her through the bars.
Then get me the hell out of here.
The guards start beating him and he fights back.
Do it, lady.
As the warden approaches, the guards drag the prisoner back into his cell.
Where are they taking him?
To be hanged. Apparently, he had a very good time.
The prisoners watch from their cells as the brown-haired man is led to the gallows.
I will give you £100 to save this man's life.
Madame, I would pay £100 just to see him hanged.
£200.
Proceed.
£300.
They tighten the rope around his neck.
Any last request, pig?
Yeah, loosen the knot and let me go.
The executioner looks at the warden.
Yeah, man. Of course you don't let him go. Yeah, yeah, but that.
£500.
The warden holds up his hand.
And what else? I'm a very lonely man.
He puts his hand on her knee and she hits him with a purse. He signals the executioner.
No!
The brown-haired man dangles in the air by his neck.
His neck did not break. Oh, I'm so sorry. Now we must watch him strangle to death.
He knows the location to Hamunaptra.
The warden looks at her.
You lie.
I would never.
Are you telling me the son of a pig knows where to find the city of the dead? Truly?
Yes. And if you cut him down, we will give you...
She looks at the brown-haired man, still hanging in the air.
10%.
50%.
20.
40.
30.
25.
Ah, deal.
Cut him down!
A man with a sword slices through the rope and the man falls to the ground. Evie stands as she exchanges stares with the brown-haired man. Giza Port, Cairo. With pyramids in the distance, a large boat prepares to set sail.
Do you really think he's going to show off?
Yes, undoubtedly, knowing my luck. He may be a cowboy, but I know the breed. His word is his word.
Well, personally, I think he's filthy, rude, a complete scoundrel. I don't like him one bit.
Anyone I know?
She stares open-mouthed at the clean-shaven, brown-haired man.
Oh. Hello.
Smashing day for the start of an adventure, eh, O'Connell?
Yeah. Yeah, smash it.
He checks his wallet.
Oh, no, I never steal from a partner. Partner?
That reminds me, no hard feelings about the,
Oh, no, happens all the time.
Mr. O'Connell, can you look me in the eye and guarantee me that this isn't all some kind of a flim-flam? Because if it is, I am warning you, I will feel...
You're warning me? Lady, let me put it this way. My whole damn garrison believed in this so much that without orders, they marched halfway across Libya and into Egypt to find that city. And when we got there, all we found was sand and blood. You get your bags.
She stares at him as he takes her bags onto the boat.
Yes, you're right. Filthy, rude, complete scoundrel, nothing like that at all.
She looks at her brother slyly as the warden approaches.
Bright, good morning to all.
Oh, no, what are you doing here?
I'm here to protect my investment. Thank you very much.
A blue moon sheds its light onto the clouds and pyramids below. Magi, with markings on their faces, move slowly in canoes. One man attaches a knife blade onto his artificial hand. The Magi move under the cover of thick fog. On the boat, Jonathan and several men play cards as one man cleans his glasses.
Quit playing with your glasses and cut the deck, would you, Burns?
Well, without my glasses, I can't see the deck to cut it, can I, Dan?
Connell, sit down. We could use another player.
I only gamble with my life, never my money.
Never? What if I was to bet you $500 says we'd get to Hamunaptra before you?
You're looking for Hamunaptra?
Damn straight we are.
And who says we are?
He does.
Well, how about it? Is it a bet?
All right, you're on. What makes you so confident, sir? What makes you?
Well, he got us a man who's actually been there.
Oh, what a coincidence, because O'Connell...
O'Connell stops him.
Whose play is it? Is it my play? I thought I just,
Gentlemen, you got us a wager. Good evening, Jonathan.
He squeezes Jonathan's shoulder, then leaves. The Magi move next to the boat as Evie sits on the deck alone and reads a book. O'Connell drops his bag in front of her.
Sorry. Didn't mean to scare you.
The only thing that scares me, Mr. O'Connell, your manners.
Still angry about that kiss, huh?
Oh, if you call that a kiss.
He rolls out weapons in front of her.
Did I miss something? Are we going into battle?
Lady, there's something out there. Something underneath that sand.
Yes, well, I'm hoping to find a certain artifact. A book, actually. My brother thinks there's treasure. What do you think's out there?
In a word, evil. The Bedouin and the Tuaregs believe the Hymenoptera is cursed.
Oh, look, I don't believe in fairy tales and hokum, Mr. O'Connell, but I do believe that one of the most famous books in history is buried out there, the Book of Amun-Ra. It contains within it all the secret incantations of the Old Kingdom. It's what first interested me in Egypt when I was a child. It's why I came here, sort of a life's pursuit.
And the fact that they say that it's made out of pure gold makes no never mind to you, right?
You know your history.
I know my treasure.
By the way, why did you kiss me?
When I was about to be hanged, it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Oh. She storms off.
What? What'd I say?
Oh. O'Connell turns and sees a shadow on a wall. He grabs Benny by the collar.
What a surprise! My best friend, you're alive! I was so very, very worried.
Well, if it ain't my little buddy Benny... I think I'll kill you.
Think of my children.
You don't have any children.
Someday I might.
Shut up. So you're the one who's leading the Americans. I might have known. So what's the scam, Betty? You take them out into the middle of the desert, and then you leave them to rot?
Unfortunately, no. These Americans are smart. They pay me only half now, half when I get them back to Cairo. So this time I must go all the way.
Them's the breaks, huh?
You never believed in Hymenoptera, O'Connell. Why are you going back?
Evie is petting a camel.
You see that girl? She saved my neck.
She glares at them, then quickly leaves.
You always did have more balls than brains.
Yeah. Goodbye, Benny.
He throws Benny overboard. O'Connell ignores him. He looks up to see wet shoe prints on the deck. He looks back into the water. In a nightgown, Evie reads as she walks around her cabin.
George Bembridge, in 1860.
She picks up her suit on a hanger.
1865 was...
She goes to hang the suit on a hook, but it falls.
Oh, for heaven's sake, girl, it wasn't that good of a kiss anyway.
She puts the book down, then looks in a mirror. She brushes her hair, and the book falls to the floor. She picks it up, then stands to find a Magi at her side. He puts his knife hand to her cheek.
Where is the map?
She nods to the map on a table.
And the key. Where is the key?
The key. What key?
Dublin!
O'Connell bursts through the door. The Magi grabs Evie to hold her hostage. As O'Connell points two handguns at them, another Magi enters with guns. O'Connell shoots him, knocking a lantern off the wall and catching a couch on fire. Evie grabs a burning candle and sticks it in her captor's eye. Still firing, O'Connell and Evie race into the hallway.
The map! I forgot the map!
Relax. Oh. I'm the map. It's all up here.
Oh, that's comforting.
The one-handed man holds his eye and stumbles around the room. He sees the star box on the floor.
Key.
Jonathan knocks the man into the fire, picks up the star box, then leaves. A man leads horses onto the deck. A Magi throws a torch into some hay. Some passengers jump into the water.
Hold this.
O'Connell hands her the weapons bag, then spins the cylinder of his handgun. As someone fires on them, he loads his gun. Each shot gets closer to O'Connell. He moves him just as a shot is fired, barely missing him. He jumps out and fires with both guns blazing. He shoots one Magi, then another.
Can you swim?
Of course I can swim if the occasion calls for it.
Trust me! It calls for it!
He tosses her overboard. As he starts to climb over, a Magi tackles him. O'Connell is punched over and over. The man kicks O'Connell, punches him, then grabs him by the neck. O'Connell headbutts the man, knocking him back. He punches him several times, sending him through a door and into a room full of fire. The warden runs up.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Wait here! I'll go get help!
Right!
O'Connell jumps overboard with the weapons bag. The warden hops around, then stops, tilts his head, and jumps into the water. The three card players are holed up behind some boxes as a Magi fires at them. Jonathan sees them firing excitedly.
Americans.
The one-handed Magi, still ablaze, heads to Jonathan. One of the Americans shoots him, sending him overboard.
I say, bloody good show, chaps. Did I panic? I think not.
He tosses the star box up and catches it. Violent flames force Jonathan and the Americans to scramble out of the water. Later, some men and the Americans are driving the horses to the water's edge.
Get out of the water! Get out of the water! Come on, doggies! Give him a smack, would you?
It's a messed up country.
Burns pours water from his hat. Jonathan, O'Connell, and Evie step to the shore.
We've lost everything, all of us. All the equipment. All my clothes.
O'Connell! Hey! O'Connell! It looks to me like I've got all the horses!
Hey, Benny! Looks to me like you're on the wrong side of the river!
Benny looks around and frowns. He kicks the water. Children play as camels are led past tents. Two men argue. A group of women start hitting the warden as he quickly leaves. Jonathan is trying to bargain for camels.
Four! I only want four of the whole bloody hut! O'Connell! Can you believe it, Chief?
Will you just pay the man?
Oh, for heaven's sake! I can't believe the price of these flea bags.
Yes, happy. Very good.
You probably could have got him for free. All we had to do was give him your sister.
Yes. Awfully tempting, wasn't it?
O'Connell stops when he sees Evie dressed in traditional Egyptian attire. Her mouth and nose are underneath a sheer black veil.
Awfully.
Evie smiles shyly and looks down. Soon after, O'Connell, Evie, Jonathan, and the warden are riding on camels across the desert.
Never did like camels. Filthy buggers, they smell, they bite, they spit. Disgusting.
I think they're adorable.
At night, some Magi are on horses. They stop and look out at O'Connell's group on camelback. O'Connell sees the Magi above them. The Magi leader has a mustache and goatee. This one is strong. Before daybreak, the four on camels meet up with the Americans and others on horses. Benny is riding a camel.
Good morning, my friend.
O'Connell turns the camel and stares off into the distance. Others do the same.
What the hell are we doing?
Patience, my good Barasim. Patience.
Remember our bet, O'Connell. First one to the city. 500 cash bucks. 100 of them bucks is yours if you help us win that bet.
Oh, my pleasure. Hey, O'Connell. Nice camel.
O'Connell pets the camel's head.
Get ready for it.
For what?
We're about to be shown the way.
As the sun peers over the horizon, a mirage of water seems to appear on the desert. Jonathan strains to see what's happening. In the hot desert sun, an ancient city slowly appears in the distance.
Look at that. Can you believe Amenoptera?
Here we go again.
O'Connell and Evie start their camels running. Those on horseback do the same as they all race to Hominoptera. Benny hits O'Connell with his riding crop.
So long, Benny.
O'Connell pulls Benny off the camel.
Now that serves you right.
O'Connell looks at Evie as she smiles at him. Evie's camel runs ahead of the others.
Go, Evie! Go!
Evie and O'Connell are the first to enter the ruins of Hominoptera. Later, those who were on horseback are working in a portion of the ancient ruins as O'Connell and his group are elsewhere.
Besora, besora, shakhail, beswishali, beswish, hastin.
As O'Connell ties off a rope, he hits the warden with it intentionally.
Do they know something we don't?
They're led by a woman. What does a woman know?
That's the statue of Anubis. Its legs go deep underground. According to Bembridge scholars, that's where we'll find a secret compartment containing the Golden Book of Amun-Ra.
She looks at the sun and adjusts a large silver mirror.
Jonathan, you're meant to catch the sun with that.
So what are these old mirrors for?
Ancient mirrors. It's an ancient Egyptian trick, you'll see.
Here, this is for you.
He hands her a bundle.
Go ahead. It's something borrowed off our American brethren. I thought you might like it. You might need it for when you're down. Yeah. What are you looking at?
The warden holds up his hands as O'Connell passes by. Evie opens the bundle to find architectural digging tools. She smiles.
Hey, look for bugs. I hate bugs.
Underground.
Do you realize we're standing inside a room that no one has entered in over 3,000 years?
What is that god-awful stench?
Jonathan sniffs the warden who's climbing down a rope. Evie wipes cobwebs off another mirror, then moves it into place.
And then there was light.
The mirrors reflect sunlight into the room.
Hey, that is a neat trick.
Oh my god, it's a Sarnici.
Huh?
A preparation room.
Preparation for what?
For entering the afterlife.
O'Connell draws his gun.
Mummies, my good son. This is where they made the mummies.
O'Connell holds out a torch as he leads them down a tunnel. They look around frantically, but nothing happens.
What's that? Sounds like bugs.
He said bugs.
You mean bugs? I hate bugs.
They continue walking down the dark, foreboding tunnel. O'Connell walks cautiously with a torch in one hand and his gun in the other as they enter another ancient room.
The legs of Anubis. A secret compartment should be hidden somewhere inside here.
O'Connell hands Evie his torch and motions her aside. He cocks one gun, then pulls out the other. They slowly make their way around the base of Anubis. It's the Americans. They're pointing guns at each other.
He scared the bejesus out of us, O'Connell.
Likewise.
Hey, that's my toolkit.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, perhaps I was mistaken.
Well, have a nice day, gentlemen. We have a lot of work to be getting along with.
Push off! This is our dig site.
We got here first.
Good.
This here's our statue, friend.
I don't see your name written on it, pal.
Yes, well, there's only 4 of you and 15 of me. Your odds are not so great, O'Connell.
I've had worse.
Yeah, me too.
Evie sees a crack in the floor.
Oh, look, for goodness sake, let's be nice, children. If we're going to play together, we must learn to share.
She looks at O'Connell.
There are other places to dig.
She puts her hand on his arm and stares at him. Later.
According to these hieroglyphics, we're underneath the statue. We should come up right between his legs.
I mean, those damn Yanks go to sleep. No offense.
Untaken.
We'll dig our way up and steal that book right out from under them.
Are you sure we can find the secret compartment thing?
Oh, yes. Those beastly Americans haven't beaten us to it. No offense.
Untaken.
So where'd our smelly little friend get to?
The warden is crawling through a tunnel with a torch. He has a bag over his shoulder. He goes to a wall full of hieroglyphics. Scarab pendants adorn the wall.
What have we here?
He puts the torch in the ground.
Blue gold.
He pries a pendant out.
This will fetch a very fine price.
He puts the scarab pendant in his bag, then poses like the engraving on the wall. One of the Americans starts to pry open the base of the Anubis statue.
Get us some treasure. Careful!
Seti was no fool. I think perhaps we should let the diggers open it. Hmm?
Oh, I think we should listen to the good doctor, Henderson.
Yeah, sure. Let them open it.
Ifta.
Three diggers use pry bars as the others watch.
Sieda!
Something sprays onto the diggers, leaving them burned and melted. Jonathan swings a long-handled tool like a golf club.
Let me get this straight. They ripped out your guts and they stuffed them in jars.
And then they take out your heart as well. Oh, and you know how they took out your brains?
Evie, I don't think we need to know this.
They take a sharp, red-hot poker, stick it up your nose, scramble things about a bit, and then rip it all out through your nostrils.
Ooh, that's gonna hurt.
It's called mummification. You'll be dead when they do this.
For the record, if I don't make it out of here, don't put me down for mummification.
Likewise.
A large box falls in front of Evie and O'Connell. Jonathan turns around sheepishly.
Oh, my God. It's a sarcophagus.
She looks at the ceiling.
Buried at the base of Anubis. He must have been someone of great importance. Or he did something very naughty.
The warden pries out another pendant.
Oh, Allah.
He misses his bag and drops it. It moves.
One more.
It opens.
One more.
A scarab races into the warden's shoe. He looks down at his foot. He tries to pull up his pant leg.
Help me!
He rips his shirt open and sees a moving bulge under his skin. He tries to grab it. The warden grabs his chest as the scarab moves onto his face.
Well, who is it?
They brush sand off the sarcophagus.
He that shall not be named.
O'Connell blows on the crypt to reveal the star pattern keyhole.
This looks like some sort of lock.
Well, whoever's in here sure wasn't getting out.
Yeah, no kidding. Takes a month to crack into this thing without a key.
A key? A key? Now, that's what he was talking about.
Who was talking about what?
Well, the man on the barge, the one with the hook. He was looking for a key.
Hey, that's mine.
She opens the star box and places it on the coffin. She smiles when it fits perfectly. O'Connell draws his gun as Jonathan grabs the star box. The warden is holding his head. He runs past it, down a tunnel, and into a wall. He falls unconscious. They stare at him.
What do you suppose killed him?
Did you ever see him eat?
Seems that our American friends had a little misfortune of their own today. Three of their diggers were, melted.
What?
How?
Salt acid. pressurized salt acid, some kind of ancient booby trap.
Maybe this place really is cursed.
They look at each other.
Oh, for goodness sake, you two.
You don't believe in curses, huh?
No, I don't. I believe if I can see it and I can touch it, then it's real. That's what I believe.
I believe in being prepared.
Let's see what our friend the warden believed in.
Jonathan looks through the warden's bag.
Is it?
He reaches in again.
His broken bottle. Oh. Glenn Livett, 12 years old. Well, he may have been a stinky fellow, but he had good taste.
Jonathan takes a drink. O'Connell gives Evie his rifle.
Take this. Stay here.
No, wait for me, wait.
Evie, excuse me, but didn't the man just say, stay here? Evie!
Magi on horseback storm the camp. Magi throws his torch onto a tent. The Americans fire back. O'Connell fires at the invaders as a tent goes up in flames. Evie looks around at the pandemonium. As a Magi comes toward her, she fires the rifle, knocking him off his horse. Jonathan takes a drink as he fires into the melee. Benny runs up and takes a long swig from the bottle. Benny's eyes widen as a Magi races toward him with a sword in the air. He spits the drink in Jonathan's face, and they run away. A Magi chases Jonathan. As they go past, O'Connell jumps on the Magi and they fall to the ground. It's the Magi leader. O'Connell shoots the sword out of his hand. O'Connell shoots another man, but the leader knocks his gun away with a sword. O'Connell rolls forward, grabs a stick of dynamite, and lights it in a fire. He points it at the leader.
Enough! Enough! We will shed no more blood. But you must leave. Leave this place or die. You have won them.
The Magi get back on their horses.
Yalla! Imse!
They quickly ride away. O'Connell pulls the fuse out of the dynamite and throws it down. As he puts the dynamite away, he sees Evie lying on the ground still holding the rifle. He gently helps her to her feet.
They've proved it. Old Seti's fortune's got to be under this sand.
For them to protect it like this, you just know there's treasure down there.
No. These men are desert people. They value water, not gold.
You know, maybe just at night, we could combine forces.
Hmm? Later, he shows Evie how to fight.
Try a right hook. Ball up your fist and put it out.
Mm-hmm. I mean it. Hit it right here.
I mean it.
She falls into his arms.
Okay, time for another drink.
Unlike my brother, sir, I know when to say no.
She takes a drink.
Uh-huh. And unlike your brother, miss, you, I just don't get.
I know. You're wondering, what is a place like me doing in a girl like this?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, Egypt is in my blood. You see, my father was a very, very famous explorer. And he loved Egypt so much, he married my mother, who was an Egyptian and quite an adventurer herself.
Mm. Mm. I get your father and I get your mother. And I get him. But what are you doing here?
Oh, look, I may not be an explorer or an adventurer or a treasure seeker or a gunfighter, Mr. O'Connell, but I am proud of what I am.
And what is that?
I am a librarian. I am going to kiss you, Mr. O'Connell.
Call me Rick.
She smiles.
Oh, Rick.
They move closer to kiss, but she passes out into his lap. He kisses the air. A white sun illuminates a morning sky. Diggers are pulling out a large chest ornate with hieroglyphics.
Awam! Awam!
As they put it down, the Americans and Benny gather around it. Burns blows the dust off the top as the diggers stand back.
There's a curse upon this chest.
Curse my ass.
Yeah, who cares?
Have a care, Mr. Henderson. In these hallowed grounds, that which was set forth in ancient times is as strong today as it was then.
Yeah, we understand. What's it say?
Il mod maktub al al-gemir. Death will come on swift wings to whomsoever opens this chest.
The diggers run away.
He should not be here. This is not good.
It says there is one, the undead, who, if brought back to life, is bound by sacred law to consummate this curse.
Well, let's make sure we don't bring anyone back from the dead then, huh?
He will kill all who open this chest and assimilate their organs and fluids. And in so doing, he will regenerate and no longer be the undead, but a plague upon this earth.
Benny starts backing up.
Well, we didn't come all this way for nothing.
That's right. It's a curse. It's a curse. It's a curse. Beware of the curse! Beware!
He runs off.
Stupid, superstitious bastard.
They open the chest.
Oh, I've dreamt about this since I was a little girl.
You dream about dead guys?
Look, the sacred spells have been chiseled off. This man must have been condemned not only in this life, but in the next.
A break.
Yeah, I'm over tears. See who's inside, shall we?
Jonathan uses the key, then they open the sarcophagus. A mummified body leans out of the coffin.
God, I hate it when these things do that.
Is he supposed to look like that?
No, I've never seen a mummy look like this before. He's still...
Juicy.
Yes. He must be more than 3,000 years old, and... Well, it looks as if he's still... decomposing.
Yeah, look at that.
There are scratches on the inside of the coffin lid.
What do you make of this?
My God, these marks were made with... fingernails. This man was buried alive. And he left a message. Death is only the beginning.
They stare at the mummy with its mouth gaping open. The three Americans and the doctor get a closer look inside the chest. The doctor pulls back a cloth to reveal a large book with an identical star lock.
Oh my God. It does exist. The Book of the Dead.
A book? Who cares about a book? Where the hell's the treasure?
This, gentlemen. This is treasure.
No, I wouldn't trade it for a friend.
Anderson kicks the chest to reveal a side compartment with canopic jars.
There's your treasure, gentlemen.
Well, now we're on to something.
As Evie walks through the camp, she sees the Egyptologist doctor struggling to open the book. His monocle falls out as he sees her staring at him.
I believe you need a key to open that book.
Say, O'Connell, what do you think these babies will fetch back home?
We hear you boys found yourselves a nice gooey mummy.
Well, congratulations. You know, if you dry that fella out, you might be able to sell him for firewood.
Benny is next to Rick.
Look what I found.
You're in her seat. Now.
Yep.
Scarab skeletons. Flesh eaters. I found them inside our friend's coffin. They can stay alive for years, feasting on the flesh of a corpse. Unfortunately for our friend, he was still alive when they started eating him.
So somebody threw these in with our guy and then they slowly ate him alive?
Very slowly.
Well, he certainly wasn't a popular fellow when they planted him, was he?
No, he probably got a little too frisky with the Pharaoh's daughter.
Well, according to my readings, our friend suffered the Hom Dai, the worst of all ancient Egyptian curses, one reserved only for the most evil of blasphemers. Well, in all of my research, I've never heard of this curse having actually been performed.
That bad, huh?
Yes. Well, they never used it because they feared it so. It's written that if a victim of the Homdai should ever arise, he would bring with him the 10 plagues of Egypt.
Later, the doctor is asleep with a book in one hand and a canopic jar in the other. A shadow passes over him as someone approaches and lifts the book out of his arms. Evie puts the book down next to a sleeping Rick.
That's called stealing, you know.
According to you and my brother, it's called borrowing.
She retrieves the star box from Jonathan's pocket and opens it.
I thought the Book of Amun-Ra was made out of gold.
It is made out of gold. This isn't the Book of Amun-Ra. This is something else. I think this may be the Book of the Dead.
The Book of the Dead? Are you sure you want to be playing around with this thing?
It's just a book. No harm ever came from reading a book.
She opens it.
That happens a lot around here.
Evie begins reading the hieroglyphics.
What's it say?
Amun-Ra. Amun-Re. It speaks of the night and of the day. Sue-a-harum-uk-tub, sin-mas-ibet-baya.
The mummy comes to life.
No! You must not read from the book!
Jonathan rouses from his drunken sleep. Benny searches the darkness with his gun drawn, and the Americans run out of their tent. A swarm is fast approaching. They watch as it gets closer. They try to outrun the swarm. It catches some of the diggers. As the doctor holds the Book of the Dead, he's covered with locusts.
What have we done?
They're running through a tunnel.
Where the hell did they come from?
As Burns trips and falls, he loses his glasses.
My glasses! My glasses!
Leave me! Leave me!
Hey! Hey! Could you help me find my glasses?
Benny steps on the glasses as he runs by.
Wait for me!
Benny chases the others as Burns picks up his broken glasses. He looks around, but things are very blurry. He tries to feel his way around the tunnel. He shuffles his feet and moves his hand along the side of the wall.
Who's there?
Who's there?
He aims his gun and struggles to see what's around him. He continues slowly through the tunnel. Something passes behind him. A shadowy figure is in front of him. He turns around but can't see anything. Something approaches from behind. Trembling, Burns' eyes widen. Then he lowers his eyebrows. He slowly turns and looks behind him. Rick, Evie, and Jonathan make their way through the maze of tunnels. The cave shakes as a mound of sand rises from the ground. Millions of scarabs emerge.
Scarabs! Go, go, go! Run!
Rick throws a torch at the bugs. He tries to shoot them as they run over a high path. They each jump to a ledge as the scarabs pass them. Evie presses against a wall. She falls backward as a hidden door opens. The door closes. Jonathan and Rick watch the last of the scarabs run away, then turn to see that Evie is gone.
Evelyn? Evie? Evelyn!
Evie!
Evie's eyes are wide as she looks around.
Whoa.
while she sees Burns standing with his back to her.
Oh, Mr. Burns, thank goodness. I was just starting to get scared. I've lost everyone.
His eyes are gone.
My eyes!
The mummy looms over her. It moves closer to her as Burns tries to crawl away. He backs her into a wall.
Please help me.
The mummy turns to Burns.
Please don't leave me.
The mummy stares at her.
Damn it! Trap doors! Let me switch or something around here someplace.
Run, you sons of bitches! Run!
Go.
The two other Americans and a digger come racing in as they all run for more scarabs. The digger falls and the scarabs cover him. They leave only a skeleton.
Go, go!
The mummy steps closer to Evie. Come with me, my princess Anaxuna Moon.
There you are! We've been playing hide and seek! Come on, let's get out of here! Whoa!
Evie!
The mummy turns to Evie and Rick. Rick roars back, then fires.
Move! Yeah, mummy!
Did you see that? It was walking!
The mummy stands as the others run away. They run into another room. It's the Magi and the doctor with the Book of the Dead.
I thought you to leave or die. You refused. Now you may have killed us all. For you have unleashed the creature that we have feared for more than 3,000 years.
Relax, I got him.
No mortal weapon can kill this creature. He's not of this world.
They help an injured Burns to his friends.
Bastards.
What did you do to him?
We saved him. Saved him before the creature could finish his work. I'll leave all of you quickly before he finishes you all. Ella, Imshi. I must now go on the hunt and try and find a way to kill him.
I already told you I got him.
Now this. This creature is the bringer of death. He will never eat. He will never sleep. He will never stop.
All alone, Benny is at the base of Anubis with a torch and a gun. He slowly backs up. He turns and finds the mummy. Up a cross on a neck chain in front of the monster as he steps back.
Good Lord, protect and watch over me as a shepherd watches over his flock.
The mummy moves closer. Benny holds up another religious symbol and says his prayers. He holds up a Buddha charm.
Cho-cho, Buddha, Ba-u.
Benny backs into a wall. As the mummy reaches for him, he holds up a Star of David. The language of the slaves. I may have use for you. And the rewards will be great. The mummy shows him gold trinkets.
My prince.
The mummy holds up a broken jar. Where are the other sacred jars? Rick and the others make a hasty retreat. A mummified hand shoots up from the sand. Fort Brighton, Cairo. The travelers arrive as dark clouds gather and lightning sparks in the distance. Later inside, a white cat sits on a suitcase as Rick tries to pack.
I thought you said you didn't believe in that fairy tales and hokum stuff. Chew!
Having an encounter with a 3,000-year-old walking talking corpse does tend to convert one.
Forget it. We're out the door, we're down the hall, and we're gone.
Oh, no, we are not.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, no, we are not. We woke him up, and we are going to stop him.
We? What we? We didn't read that book. I told you not to play around that thing. Didn't I tell you not to play around that thing?
Right then, me. I woke him up, and I intend to stop him.
Oh, yeah? How? You heard the man. No mortal weapons can kill this guy.
Oh, well, then we are just going to have to find some immortal ones.
There goes that we again.
Look, listen to me. We have to do something. Once this creature has been reborn, his curse is going to spread until the whole of the earth is destroyed.
Yeah? And is that my problem?
Well, it is everybody's problem.
Evelyn, I appreciate you saving my life and all, but when I signed on, I agreed to take you out there and to bring you back. And I have done that. End of job, end of story, contract terminated.
That's all I am to you, a contract.
Look, you can either tag along with me or you can stay here and try and save the world. What's it going to be?
I'm staying.
Fine.
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 As he leaves, she crosses her arms. A man in a uniform is with a woman dressed in veils next to a fountain.
I'm the last of the Royal Air Corps still stationed out here, you know what?
He walks through the fountain.
A bloody idiot spilt his drink. All the other ladders died in the sky and were buried in the sand. Good chaps, every one of them, too.
Oh, hey, Winston. Yeah.
Now, you know, O'Connell, ever since the end of the Great War, there hasn't been a single challenge worthy of a man like me.
Yeah, so we all got our little problems today, don't we, Winston?
I just wish I could have chucked it in with the others and gone down in flame and glory instead of sitting around here rotting of boredom and booze. Cheers.
Winston takes Jonathan's drink and guzzles it down.
Oh, well, back to the airfield.
He slaps them on their backs, then leaves.
Tell me, has your sister always been?
Oh, yes, well, always.
We're all packed up, but the damn boat doesn't leave till tomorrow morning.
Tail set firmly between your legs, I see.
Yeah, you can talk. You don't have some sacred walking corpse after you.
So, how's your friend?
He had his eyes and his tongue ripped out. What would you be?
Burns' eyes are bandaged.
I'm so pleased to meet you.
Prince Imhotep does not like to be touched. A silly Eastern superstition, I'm afraid.
Please forgive me.
He knocks over a cup of coffee.
Whoops.
The mummy is wearing a mask.
Mr. Burns, Prince Imhotep thanks you for your hospitality.
Yeah.
And for your eyes.
Burns' lip quivers.
And for your tongue.
What?
But I'm afraid more is needed.
What?
The prince must finish the job and consummate the curse which you and your friends have brought down upon yourselves.
As the mummy removes his mask, scarabs scatter. The mummy licks his teeth.
Good luck, boys.
Everyone spits out their drink.
Tasty.
Just like
Rick drops his glass.
Blood.
And the rivers and waters of Egypt ran red. And were as blood.
The fountain flows blood.
He's here.
Evie goes outside while reading a book.
Hello. Oh, Evelyn!
Oh, so you're still here.
We've got problems.
They turn to see it's raining fire. They run just as a splash of fire lands close by. Streaks of fire mar the dark skies as parts of the city are destroyed. Rick grabs Benny.
Hey! Benny, you little stinkweed, where you been?
As Benny runs away, Rick draws his gun. He holds Evie's hand and they quickly go up some stairs. She sees Burns' shriveled body in his chair. Rick points his gun at the mummy, whose arm, chest, and leg muscles are regenerating.
We are in serious trouble.
Rick fires as the mummy approaches. Bullets don't faze him. He throws Rick into Jonathan and the Americans. The mummy turns to Evie. You saved me from the undead. I thank you. Rick frowns as he watches the mummy get too close to Evie. The white cat is walking on the piano. The mummy turns into a tornado of sand. A face appears in the sand as it goes out a window.
We are in very serious
trouble.
Later, at the Museum of Antiquities.
He does seem to like reading.
Yeah, what's that about?
What's this guy want in here?
There's only one person I know that can possibly give us any answers.
It's the Magi leader and Evie's boss.
Miss Carnahan. Gentlemen.
What is he doing here?
Do you really want to know, or would you prefer to just shoot us?
After what I just saw, I'm willing to go on a little faith here.
We are part of an ancient secret society. For over 3,000 years, we have guarded the city of the dead. We've sworn at manhood to do any and all in our power to stop the High Priest Imhotep from being reborn into this world.
Now, because of you, we have failed.
And you think this justifies the killing of innocent people?
To stop this creature? Let me think.
Yes!
Question. Why doesn't he like cats? Well, cats are the guardians of the underworld. He will fear them until he is fully regenerated.
And then he will fear nothing.
Yeah, and you know how he gets himself fully regenerated?
By killing everyone who opened that chest.
And sucking them dry, that's how.
Dunham, will you stop playing with that? When I saw him alive at Hamunaptra, he called me Anuksunamun.
The curator and Magi leader exchanged looks.
And then just now in Mr. Burns' quarters, he tried to kiss me.
It's because of his love for Anuksunamun that he was cursed. Apparently, even after 3,000 years.
He's still in love with her.
Yes, well, that's very romantic, but what has it got to do with me?
Perhaps he will once again try to raise her from the dead.
Yes. It appears he has already chosen his human sacrifice.
They look at Evie.
Bad luck, old mum.
On the contrary, it may just give us the time we need to kill the creature.
We will need all the help we can get.
The Magi leader is looking up.
His powers are growing.
They look through a window to see the moon moving in front of the sun. An eclipse.
And he stretched forth his hand towards the heavens, and there was darkness throughout the land of Egypt.
We must stop him from regenerating. Who opened that chest?
Well, there's me and Daniels here.
Oh, and Burns, of course.
And that Egyptologist fella.
What about my buddy Benny?
Oh, he scrammed out of there before we opened the damn thing.
Yeah, he was the smart one.
Yeah, that sounds like Benny.
We must find the Egyptologist and bring him back to the safety of the fort before the creature can get to him.
Right. She stays here. You three come with me.
Not me.
Just
no,
I'm leaving behind here like some kind of carpet bag.
Rick carries Evie into a bedroom.
O'Connell, what do you think you are doing? Jonathan! O'Connell!
Sorry, Evan. He's a bit
coward
tall.
That you are. O'Connell, you are not leaving me in here.
He grabs Daniels by the shirt.
This door doesn't open. She doesn't come out and no one goes in. Right?
Right?
Right? Right.
He leaves the door keys with Daniels and leaves.
Let's go, Jonathan.
Oh, well, I thought I could just stay at the fort and reconnoiter.
Now!
Yeah, right. We're just going to rescue the Egyptologist.
The Egyptologist walks quickly through an alley dimly lit by the eclipse, carrying the Book of the Dead. He looks around. A dark robed figure moves behind him. Mummy's eyes peek out from his robes. Benny knocks off a picture of the Egyptologist as he rummages through a desk. He pulls out drawers and empties their contents.
Well, well, well. Let me guess. Spring clean.
As Benny tries to flee, Rick throws a chair.
Nice shot.
Oh, Benny, you fall down here. Let me help you.
He slams Benny into a wall.
You came back from the desert with a new friend, didn't you, Benny?
But friend, you are my only friend.
Rick hurls Benny on top of the desk.
What the hell are you doing with this creep, huh, Benny? What's in it for you?
It is better to be the right hand of the devil than in his path. As long as I serve him, I am immune.
Immune from what?
Pish cash a lot.
What did you say?
I don't want to tell you. You just hurt me some more.
What are you looking for? And try not to lie to me.
He holds him to a fan.
The book! The flame book they found at Hamunaptra. He wants it back. He said to me it would be worth its weight in gold.
What does he want the book for?
Oh, come on. I don't know. Something about bringing his dead girlfriend back to life. But that's all. He just wants the book, I swear. Just the book, I swear. And your sister. But other than that...
Benny punches Rick in the stomach and jumps out a window. Benny's eyes roll around and he shakes his head. Rick and Jonathan look out to see a crowd backing away. The mummy is standing over the skeleton of the Egyptologist. Holding the Book of the Dead, the mummy takes a jar from his victim's hand. The robed monster looks up at Rick and Jonathan. The mummy's face has regenerated even more. Oh!
Bugs swarm out of the mummy as he glares at them. His mouth opens unusually wide as the swarm shoots toward the men. They quickly close the window. As the crowd fights the swarm, the mummy slowly walks away.
That's two down, two to go.
They'll be coming after Evie.
Daniels looks out a window.
Hell with this. I'm going downstairs. Get me a drink. You want something?
Yeah, give me a glass of bourbon.
All right. And a shot of bourbon.
Yeah, okay.
And a bourbon chaser.
Yeah, I'll get you damn bourbon.
Don't worry about the door.
Anderson looks at a canopic jar propped in a chair. He spins his gun, points it at the jar, then returns it to his holster. He pulls his gun as the wind howls. With his gun drawn, he cautiously approaches the window. He's shaking. He looks around outside. A burst of sand knocks him down, then lifts him into the air. Anderson's shadow shrinks as he's turned into a skeleton, then is tossed aside. The shadow of Imhotep appears as the sand subsides. The mummy is almost fully regenerated. As Imhotep looks at the bedroom doors, a scarab crawls from a hole on his neck to a hole in his cheek. He starts chewing as he walks to the door. Henderson's grotesquely shriveled body lies on the floor. Evie is asleep. Sand begins pouring through the keyhole. She frowns in her sleep. The pile of sand grows larger. The sand stops, and Imhotep goes to Evie's side. He sits on the bed and looks at her closely. He closes his eyes, then kisses Evie. His jaw begins to disintegrate. As her eyes open, Rick breaks in.
Hey, get your ugly face off of her!
Evie scrambles away.
Look at
that guy.
He holds up the cat. The mummy turns back into sand and flies out the window. Evie and Rick look at each other.
You all right?
Well, not sure.
Rick glares at Jonathan. Rick, Evie, Daniels, and Jonathan arrive at the museum in a car. As they go up some stairs, they're led by the curator and the Magi leader.
Yes, well, according to legend, the black book that the Americans found at Amenaptra is supposed to bring people back from the dead. Until now, it was a mission I was unwilling to believe.
Believe it, sister. That's about our buddy back to life.
Yes, and I'm thinking that if the black book can bring dead people to life, then
maybe the gold book can kill him.
That's the myth. Now we just have to find out where the gold book is hidden.
They look outside to see men in a trance. Some are carrying torches. The men's faces are scarred. The crowd marches to the museum doors.
Last but not least, my favorite plague. Boils and sores.
They have become his slaves. So it has begun. The beginning of the end.
Not quite yet, it hasn't. Come on.
The mummy Imhotep looks at his slaves as he walks to the museum. His jaw and throat are still not regenerated. His mouth opens grotesquely wide. Benny is walking uncomfortably among the chanting men. Crowd starts beating on the museum doors. The curator and Evie try to decipher hieroglyphics.
According to Benbridge scholars, the golden book of Amun-Ra is located inside the statue of Anubis.
That's where we found the black book.
Exactly.
That looks like the old boys at Benbridge were mistaken.
Yes, they mixed the books up, mixed up where they were buried. So if the black book is inside the statue of Anubis, then the golden book must be inside.
The crowd breaks down the door and runs inside.
Faster.
Patience is a virtue.
Not right now, it isn't.
I think I'll go get the car started.
I've got it. The golden book of Amun-Ra is at Hamunaptra inside the statue of Horus. Take that, Bembridge scholars.
She smiles. Jonathan runs around the back to retrieve the car. He stops when he sees the entranced slaves coming toward him. He opens his eyes wide and pretends to be one of them. He slowly backs away as they pass him. He jumps into the convertible as his friends run out. Benny sees them.
Stay in gear, boy. Let's get out of here.
Evie, come on, Evie. Hurry up.
Imhotep. Imhotep sees them from a window.
You're going to get yours, Benny. You hear me? You're going to get yours.
Oh, like I've never heard that before.
The crowd chases them. Through the streets of Cairo. Driving, Jonathan looks away, then looks back. More of Imhotep's slaves are in front of them. They all exchange stares. Rick punches his foot on top of Jonathan's on the accelerator. Some of Imhotep's followers hang onto the car.
What?
Rick punches one of them. Then he smashes his head into the steering wheel. He pushes the man into a marshal stand. The Magi leader punches a man in the face. He pokes a man in the eye. Rick hits a man who flies into a pole. Two men are hanging on Daniels in the back of the car.
Hey! I'll go! I'll go!
Daniels and Imhotep's men fall off the car as it goes around a corner. Daniels fires at his attackers and others in the mob. The crowd of men looks at him. They slowly turn as Imhotep approaches. Daniels drops his guns and stares at the still disfigured mummy. Daniels holds up a canopic jar. Benny turns away. The car smashes into a water trough and they all bail out. Jonathan, the Magi leader, and the curator are backed into a wall and surrounded by the mob. The crowd doesn't move any closer. The crowd parts to allow Imhotep through. Benny follows.
It's the creature. He's fully regenerated.
Kitar Mipharos. Ainilio. Isirion.
Come with me, my princess. It is time to make you mine, forever.
For all eternity, idiot.
Puntash Daina. Aelio.
Take my hand, and I will spare your friends.
Oh, dear.
Evie looks around.
You got any bright ideas?
I'm thinking.
Better think of something fast, because if he turns me into a mummy, you're the first one I'm coming after.
Evie slowly takes Imhotep's hand, but Rick draws his gun.
No.
Don't!
No!
He still has to take me to Hamunaptra to perform the ritual.
She's right. Live today, fight tomorrow.
Rick frowns, then puts down his gun. Evie and Rick look at each other for a long moment. Then Rick glares at the mummy.
I'll be seeing you again.
Imhotep smiles slyly as he leads Evie away. Evie looks back at Rick as the Magi leader restrains him. Jonathan and Benny are struggling.
Hey, that's mine.
Benny takes the star box.
Thank you.
Kekame!
Kill them all.
Let go of me!
Goodbye, my friend.
The crowd closes in. Rick throws a torch at the crowd, then takes a lid off a hole in the ground.
Come on!
my sister.
We're gonna get her back.
The curator draws his sword and begins to fight the crowd.
Come on!
As Rick jumps in the hole, the crowd surrounds the curator. Rick, Jonathan, and the Magi leader are in the car. Children herd goats as they approach a biplane. Winston is having tea as a phonograph plays nearby.
Escucha corazón.
Morning, Winston. A word?
Corazón.
So what's your little problem got to do with His Majesty's Royal Air Corps?
Not a damn thing.
Is it dangerous?
Well, you probably won't live through it.
Why, Joe? Do you really think so?
Well, everybody else we bumped into has died. Why not you?
What's the challenge then?
Rescue the damsel in distress, kill the bad guy, and save the world.
Oh, ha, 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 ha. Winston Havelock, at your service, sir.
He salutes Rick. Later, the plane is taking off. Winston is at the controls, and Rick is in the seat behind him. Jonathan and the Magi leader are each strapped to a wing.
Are you all right?
Do I bloody look all right?
He turns to the Magi leader, who's smiling on the other side.
How you doing?
The biplane passes a large tornado of sand. Winston sees it.
I've never seen one so big.
Never? No!
The plane flies over sand dunes and rocky hills. Evie and Benny fly out of the twister and land on a sand dune. Benny lands on Evie.
Get off me! Get off!
I need a new job.
They both look up as the twister turns into the fearsome form of Imhotep. He passes them and heads to a barren stretch of land where Hamunaptra stood.
Oh my God. We're back.
Imhotep and Evie look up to see the biplane overhead. As Evie smiles, Imhotep frowns. Imhotep growls, and a roll of sand races across the stretch of land. It turns into a large wall of moving sand.
Oh, my God. Hey, Winston! Pedal faster!
Winston sees the wall of sand in his rearview mirror.
Hang on, man!
Winston plunges the plane over a small mountain to escape the wrath of the sand wall that resembles a large ocean wave. He skims the land surface as he keeps the craft in front of a looming sandstorm. Rick's eyes widen as a face appears in the sand wall. Imhotep smiles. Rick fires a machine gun mounted behind him into the sand face, but it's futile. As Imhotep opens his mouth, the sand face does also. Rick puts on his goggles as the enormous sand mouth swallows the tiny biplane.
Stop it! You'll kill them!
That's the idea.
Imhotep's eyes are closed. Evie knocks Benny out of the way and rushes to him. She looks back to see the plane struggling inside the huge sand wall. It flips upside down. Evie frowns, then grabs Imhotep and kisses him. They look at each other as she turns him away from the plane. As they kiss, she sees the wall of sand disintegrate, but the plane leaves a black smoky trail. She frowns as the plane fishtails, then crashes on the other side of a sand dune. Benny looks down.
I love the whole sand wall trick. It was beautiful, you bastard.
The plane's nose is into the ground and the tail section is in the air. The Magi leader manages to free himself as Rick starts to climb out. Rick falls to the ground. Jonathan is upside down.
Excuse me.
A little help would be useful if it's not too much trouble!
Yeah, yeah, all right.
The Magi leader pulls the machine gun off the plane.
Winston! Hey, Winston!
Winston is in the cockpit. His eyes are closed, but he's smiling. Rick checks his pulse, then looks solemnly at Jonathan. The plane begins to sink.
Quicksand! Get back! It's quicksand!
They quickly move away from the sinking plane. Winston disappears with his craft. As more of the plane disappears, Rick salutes his old friend. The three remaining men walk away. Imhotep descends some cobweb-covered stairs. Evie hesitates, but Benny has a gun on her.
Keep moving.
You know, nasty little fellows such as yourself always get their comeuppance.
They do?
Oh, yes. Always.
Benny looks around uneasily. Rick and the Magi leader move rocks, blocking an entrance.
I take those bigger stones first. And take them from the top, otherwise the whole thing will cave in on us. Come on, put your backs into it.
They glare at him.
Yes, well, you've got the idea. Chop, chop.
As they return to work, Jonathan sees the hieroglyphics encrusted with scarab pendants.
I say.
He removes one and holds it in his hand.
Jens, you should come and have a look at this.
The pendant breaks open and the scarab climbs into his skin. It crawls under his skin up his arm.
What?
As they take off his shirt, it crawls up his shoulder.
Whoa! Hold it! Do something, do something! Not that, not that!
Rick gets a knife and digs the scarab out. It lands on the sand, moves its wings, then heads back for them. Rick shoots it.
Connell.
Imhotep pours a jar's contents into his hand, then blows the ashes onto hieroglyphics.
Sate vapokuraek.
As Evie and Benny watch intently, the hieroglyphics of two men crackle apart, and two mummies emerge from the stone. The two mummies limp closer.
Pembridge scholars never wrote about this.
Imhotep smiles as the two mummies bow before him. Kill them.
Hariyaket!
And wake the others. Rick tosses a bag and a torch onto the ground as he slides through a narrow passage. The Magi leader and Jonathan are behind him. Rick sees an ancient mirror across the room. He puts his rifle over his shoulder, takes out his handgun, and aims it at the mirror. The mirror moves, illuminating the room. A wealth of gold statues and riches are stretched out before them. Rick and the Magi leader have their rifles ready as they descend some stairs into the room.
Can you believe?
Yeah.
Can we just...
No.
A mummy pops through the floor. And another. And even more.
Who the hell are these guys?
Priests. Imhotep's priests.
All right, then.
They fire at the priests. Jonathan grabs Rick's handguns and starts firing as well. Jonathan throws a gun at the remaining beasts as they flee. Benny watches them. He looks around the room and grins greedily. Evie awakes to find her arms shackled. Her eyes widen as a rat scurries across her waist. A mummy is lying beside her. The priests are still chasing Rick and the others. Jonathan finds a large statue.
There he is! Hello, Horace, old boy!
Rick hands the Magi his gun and pulls out some dynamite. He lights a match on the Magi's beard and throws it.
Time to close the door.
They run for cover. Benny drags some gold artifacts outside. He grabs a camel's lead and tries to move the stubborn animal. With five jars on one side and the mummy on the other, Evie struggles to break free as the priest mummies encircle her. Imhotep arrives solemnly with the Book of the Dead. Evie frowns as Imhotep gently runs his hand over the face of the wrapped mummy next to her. He uses the star box to unlock the dark book. Rick and Jonathan try to pry open the base of the statue as the Magi reloads Rick's shotgun. The shadows of more mummy priests reflect on a tunnel wall.
Damn, these guys just don't quit, do they? Keep thinking.
The Magi leaves. Benny continues to load Egyptian gold onto a camel's back. He smiles as he picks up a round gold box. It glistens in the sun. At the statue, Rick and Jonathan uncover a box containing a gold book.
Book of Amun-Ra.
The Magi tries to stave off the priests.
Save the girl. Kill the creature.
The Magi races toward the mummy priests. Lights a stick of dynamite, then grabs Jonathan.
What are you waiting for? Get out! Get out!
Rick throws Jonathan to safety, then tosses the dynamite and dives for cover.
All right, go!
As Jonathan holds tightly to the gold book, they both run out. Imhotep reads from the Book of the Dead. Takes on a human shape as it hovers over Evie, then goes to Anaksunamun.
Not too high. Not too high.
The form dissolves into Anaksunamun and she comes to life. Imhotep holds a knife over Evie. With your death, Anaksunamun shall live, and I shall be invincible.
I found it, Evie! I found it!
The Book of Amun-Ra.
Shut up and get me up here, Jonathan! Open the book, Jonathan! It's the only way to kill him! You have to open the book and find the inscription!
Well, I can't open it! It's locked to something!
Rick grabs a statue's sword.
We need the key, Evie!
It's inside his room!
As Imhotep goes after Jonathan, Rick runs to Evie. Rick manages to break one chain, but then must fight off the mummy priests. He uses his sword and his fist on the beasts. He kicks a mummy and sends it flying. Evie pulls on the remaining chain. One priest grabs him from the back. He breaks its hold, then slices another one in half. He cuts the head off of a mummy who tries to catch it. Rick hits the mummy head like a baseball.
Mummies.
He starts to break the other chain, but his feet go out from under him. A priest has him by the feet. Rick reaches for his sword, but it's too far away. Another mummy grabs his neck.
Please, I want to
with a large piece of stone. Rick stretches for the sword again. A disembodied hand crawls toward the sword as Rick struggles with the top half of a mummy. The priest raises the stone above its head just as the hand grabs the sword. Rick grabs the hand and uses it to slice the feet off the stone-holding priest. The stone falls on its feetless owner.
Here's an inscription.
Rashimulukashka!
Rick has freed Evie as two doors open and mummy guards march out carrying shields, lances, and bent swords.
Oh, boy.
Imhotep smiles at the sight of the marching guards. They line up in formation and start walking closer.
Oh, yeah. This just keeps getting better and better.
Do something, Jonathan.
Me!
You can command them.
You have got to be joking.
Finish the inscription on the cover, idiot. Then you can control them.
Oh. Right.
Jonathan ducks around a corner as Rick holds out his sword. The guards get closer. Anaxuna Moon grabs Evie and swings a sword at her. Three guards bound over the water and face Rick. Rick retreats and the guards follow. Imhotep smiles and turns to see his mummified girlfriend still chasing Evie.
Oh, hurry up, Jonathan!
Rick slices a rope, then hangs on it as it lifts him in the air and drops a cage on one of the guards. Rick jumps onto a ledge and runs into a tunnel. He runs back out of the tunnel with guards hot on his heels. As he races down some stairs, the guards crawl on the wall like spiders. As he reaches the bottom, Rick grimaces and turns around to find nothing. Guards land behind him.
Can't figure out this last symbol.
What does it look like?
The mummy grabs her as Rick fights with guards. As he leans back to hit a guard, he stabs another in the head, then hits the guard in front of him with a skull on the sword.
It's a bird, a stork!
A guard knocks Rick down. He grabs a torch and sets the guard ablaze. The mummy holds a knife over him and he struggles to keep it away.
Yes, I see.
Rick and the guards battle on the stairs. The guards knock Rick back and he falls down the steps. He backs up quickly on all fours as the guards get in line and move toward him.
Who touched the momentum?
The guard's sword stops just on Rick's head. Imhotep turns around as the guards are frozen in place. The guards pull away, then form a line. Destroy him. Destroy him. They don't move. I command you to destroy him. Evie and the mummy are still fighting. The guards turn and head for Anaxuna Moon.
Anaxuna Moon!
The mummy turns just as the guards head for her.
Arute!
Give me that book. Jonathan drops it. The guards attack Anaxuna Moon. Imhotep watches shadows as the guards stab her repeatedly. He turns to Jonathan. Now you die. He grabs Jonathan and lifts him by the throat. Rick hits Imhotep with a sword. Jonathan falls with only Imhotep's arm around his neck. A one-armed Imhotep turns and glares at Rick. He looks at his stub, then grabs Rick with his other arm and throws him across the room. Imhotep reattaches his arm and goes to Rick as Jonathan holds up the star box.
Evie! I got it!
Imhotep grabs Rick by the shoulders as Evie rushes to help Jonathan.
Keep him busy!
Rick flies through the air into a rock.
No problem!
Evie unlocks the gold book and opens it as Imhotep sends Rick through the air again. As Evie searches through gold pages, Imhotep grabs Rick by the throat.
Surut.
Hurry, Evie, hurry!
You're not helping!
He holds Rick up in the air by his throat.
Now
it's your turn. Imhotep opens his mouth grotesquely wide.
I got it! Kadishmal! Kadishmal! Harad Paradus!
Imhotep frowns and throws Rick aside as a ghostly white chariot races down the stairs. It rushes through Imhotep and drags his ghostly figure away. Imhotep runs after it. The chariot disappears at the top of the stairs. Rick holds his neck as he retrieves his sword.
I thought you said it was gonna kill him!
An angry Imhotep walks quickly toward them. Rick runs his sword through him. Imhotep looks down and sees blood on his hand.
He's mortal.
Rick pulls the sword out as Imhotep holds his stomach. They watch as he backs into black oily water and begins sinking. He slowly disintegrates as gelatinous faces float around him. Imhotep looks at them as the faces surround him. He returns to his mummy form as he growls and sinks below the surface.
Death is only the beginning.
Benny struggles to bring more gold treasures out. He grimaces as he resists their weight. He leans against a wall, then puts the treasure on an arm-like stone with a jackal's head. As Benny turns away, the stone moves down. The ceilings and walls begin to close in.
Time to go!
Rick and Evie start running. Jonathan is behind them with the gold book. Trips and falls, sending the book into the black oily water. Evie runs back and looks in the water. They grab her hands and pull her away. Benny drags his treasure through a tunnel as walls close around him. He drops the treasure, then narrowly crawls through as a door lowers to the ground. Sand is pouring from overhead as Rick, Evie, and Jonathan race through more tunnels. Benny runs as well. They duck under another closing door and run through the treasure room. Jonathan slides to a stop and looks around. Evie and Rick retrieve him.
Well, could we just know, Jonathan?
As they race up some stairs, Benny runs up behind them. A large ceiling is close to the ground, but Rick, Evie, and Jonathan make it.
Benny! Benny! Please!
Come on, come on! Benny!
Benny is trapped.
Goodbye, Benny.
Rick leaves. Benny holds up a torch and crawls back under a closing ceiling. He narrowly makes it. He turns to see other walls have closed, blocking all the exits. A mirror falls, cutting off light to the treasure room. A scarab crawls up on a statue, and Benny stares wide-eyed. He holds the torch up to scare the beetle. Benny turns to see thousands of scarabs headed right for him.
Suspect! Suspect!
He waves his torch at them as they surround him. Benny trembles as the light on his torch slowly goes out. Outside, Evie, Rick, and Jonathan are dodging falling ruins. Pillars narrowly miss them. As they run, the sand... As more ruins fall, they run as fast as they can. Sprays of sand shoot into the sky as Hamunaptra is destroyed. They all turn and watch as huge pieces of stone move among the immense clouds of sand. Someone grabs Jonathan from behind. It's the Magi leader.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You have earned the respect and gratitude of me and my people.
Yes, well, there's nothing.
May Allah smile upon you always.
He salutes them.
And yourself.
The Magi rides away on a camel.
Yes, any time.
Stay out of trouble.
He's just leaving us here.
Jonathan looks back where Hamunaptra once stood.
Well, I guess we go home empty-handed. Again.
I wouldn't say that.
Rick looks at Evie.
Please.
Rick and Evie kiss passionately. Rick and Evie gently rub noses and put their foreheads together. They smile. Later, Rick and Evie ride on one camel as Jonathan rides another. They kiss again as Benny's gold treasure rattles in the bag behind them. They ride off into the sunset. Narrative script written by Susan Crane. For the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network, this is Kevin Meyer. Special thanks to the U.S. Department of Education.